Welcome to the Tuesday Talk Show, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for joining us this morning. We ask that you hold your phone calls until after the top of the hour news, but if you want to jot the phone number down now, it's 541-472-1270. And when you hear the sound of the radio coming back through your phone, that means that you're next in queue, and as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live and let you air your question or comment to our guest today. Our guest today, kind of a special show because we have the brand new Board of County Commissioners in studio. All three are here with us. So, gentlemen, welcome to the microphones of KAJO Radio. I assume you're all happy with your jobs. Nobody has requested a recount at this point.
So, not yet.
We're loving it. Yeah.
All right. All right. Well, once again, thank you for your attendance. Let's start with the chairman, Andrus Bleck. You're the veteran here, and I put veteran in quotes. You served what, about 6 months prior to your reappointment to the board?
Yeah, 6 months. Went by pretty quick. Was an interesting time. But I had, I believe, 8 days off. So I went from a freshman to a senior in 8 days. So it was interesting.
I'll bet the transition has been significant. Can you tell us about that transition and how it feels now compared to last December?
Being the chair, and I appreciate the confidence and the other board members in appointing me as the chair. Watching the previous board and the professionalism that I saw in both John West and in Herman Birchiger, I learned a lot. I really did. And then I also had to mature. Now with this position, I had to get out of my fear and my uncertainty and grow up and become more confident, and it's been good for me.
All right. Well, thank you, Andrus. I'm going to move on down the line here. Vice Chair, let's see. I don't know if you're familiar with a radio studio or not.
This is so foreign to me, Chuck.
Once or twice.
Yeah.
Chris Barnett, how has been your first month sitting behind that Diaz?
You know what? Loving it. I'm absolutely loving it. It's a challenge. Not everybody can be in these positions. And with the background that a lot of us have in various different things, I mean, it kind of prepares you for what you're about the challenge. And I really like solving problems and interacting with the public. It's been an actual delight. It's kind of like what I do, Chuck, you know? And solving things one thing at a time. Not everything's going to be perfect. Like I tell everybody, you can't please everybody 100% of the time. And I say that a lot because people think you can just wave a magic wand and things just poof happen. But I'm only a board of one. I mean, we have a board of three. So I have two other great colleagues that I really rely on that we make the best decisions for the taxpayers of Josephine County. So with that, I feel very good about the team that we have representing the citizens of Josephine County.
All right. Thank you, Chris. And I was going to say last but not least, certainly not Ron Smith. Tell us, welcome to the board. Tell me about your transition right into this position.
Well, Chuck, it's been an interesting road for me over the years because, as you know, I've ran before. But I've always had the desire to help people and to help defend people's property rights in Josephine County. As a commissioner, I feel like I have a little more authority to complete my mission statement of protecting property rights and working for the people. So I'm excited. I'm thrilled. I actually tell people I was born for this job. I feel like I've been training for 20 years for this job, so I'm well prepared.
Let me ask a couple of general questions here, and not directed at anybody, but looking for an answer. Have the liaison assignments gone through yet? Do you know which departments that you're working with?
So with the new policy, we're not doing the liaisons like they had been done in the past. Mm-hmm. So now we're having the department heads come directly to all three commissioners. In the past, the liaison function, it appeared to not work as well as we think it should. And what was happening is an individual liaison was dealing with a department, and the other two commissioners were not kept abreast of what was going on with that department. So we've done away with that, and our new policy now is that the liaison there are no liaisons, but that department heads report directly to the whole board. And that way we're all involved, we all know what's going on, and I think we can all have input and have a positive impact on how the departments are run.
How are the department heads reacting to the new status?
I would say mixed. I think it's just like anything. When you have something new, it's foreign. It's not how we've done things before. We're not sure how it's going to work. But I'm confident. I think it's going to work out really well.
All right. Well, on down the board. Chris, you agree with Andrus Bleck?
Yeah, because I made it a point to meet with all the department heads. I'm going through and just talking about our expectations, how we can work together. And I think that the department heads kind of appreciate that we all have a vested interest, so we all get to know our department heads individually. And I like that if they're coming to us, all three of us, then we all get to hear a little bit about it. I think in the past, and remember, this was new for us because I heard there was this liaison things, and I was like, I think some of that information was not being relayed to the other commissioners. So I think some of the things were just caught off guard sometimes and was like, well, we didn't even know about it. How did you know about it? So the liaison program, I think, meant to be a good thing, but I don't think all the commissioners were doing that. I don't know, but Andreas Black, our chair, he was there and when they got rid of that program, right, the liaison?
Yeah, I don't want to say got rid of it, but we transitioned to something that we think is going to work out better.
Yeah, okay. Coming to all of us, so we get to know them.
All right, Ron, how do you feel about that liaison
situation? Well, I think it's a smart move because, simply put, one commissioner can't make a decision. It's a board decision. So, therefore, the board needs to be fully informed on what's happening in every department so we can make decisions as a board, not as an individual commissioner. So I think it's a great move. I can see where it's going to help help the Board of Commissioners make better decisions for each and every department.
Well, I've got to agree that communication and transparency is certainly preeminent in the public's minds these days. Is there an area that you specialize in that you would have liked to have specialized in, Ron?
Well, my whole thing is land use. It's been my policy for many, many years. I'm pretty abreast on what's happened with the National Forest. In fact, there was a big meeting coming up on the 29th in Medford about the amendment to the Northwest Forest Plan.
Right.
I plan on attending that. So, and we have an issue that's really huge here in the county, and it's affecting a lot of people. I'm getting a lot of calls over it. It's something I've been involved in since the very beginning of this whole process, called Senate Bill 762. It's a wildfire hazard map. People are receiving the letters from ODF now, and they're seriously concerned and scared what this means to their property rights going forward. So January 30th at 7 to 9 p.m., Josephine County Fairgrounds, Evergreen Pavilion, we're hosting a town hall to bring some information and hopefully some motivation and some action to the people that they can take to address this, what I consider misguided legislation.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. Back to Chris. Was there an area that you're more interested in to specialize in within the county?
Yeah, PR. I think we all have talent on our team, and every one of us, individuals, commissioners, have a specialty that we like. Commissioner Smith just talked about his passion for land use rights and stuff like that. Mine's more the PR out in the community. I want to let the taxpayers know that our departments work for them, and we have good morale going on in the county. That I want to know that Josephine County is my big thing right now is Josephine County Strong. And I say that because we're part of that, and us individual commissioners, when we go out in the public, we represent the county, and I want our county to be known to be a good county, a great county with great people that work for the taxpayers. So,
all right, Andres, was there a particular area that you have some specific interest in?
Well, I see Commissioner Smith is very gifted with the land use issues, and Commissioner Barnett here does have the gift of dealing with the citizens. I guess I'll pick up the scraps. Whatever is left, I'll do. But all kidding aside, administrative part of running the county is, I think, kind of where I can shine right now as the chair. A lot of those responsibilities are put upon my shoulders, and I've been at it now for a whole whopping 2 weeks or 3 weeks. But I think it's a good fit, and I look forward to the challenges and creating solutions for those challenges as we move forward.
I certainly appreciate your gift of humor, and sometimes I think that's missing here. And when you said that, I just had a picture of the guy in the parade with the broom walking behind the horses.
That's right, sweeping it up, whatever it takes, Chuck. Whatever it takes.
All right, let me. okay, I'm going to refocus here and get right back to business, and that's the business: figure out what's going on in the county. And Commissioner Barnett alluded to that, and he said morale. Can you give me an estimate of the county employees' morale right now going forward? We've come out of a time of at least some turmoil, and I think everybody has to admit that that was going on. Can you give me an assessment of the morale throughout the county?
Well, you know, when you look at the county, you want to say as a whole, what's the morale like? I can't say that it's bad. I mean, I talk to directors, I talk to managers, and yeah, we could always have a better morale. That's just a reality. That's human nature. We always want things to be better, but they could be a lot worse. So to say that the morale was bad, I don't know. I think it's just how you frame it. It's how you frame it.
Oh, okay. Chris, you did mention it specifically, your assessment of the county's morale right now.
Morale is something in every big corporation or department that you always got to look at your employees and how we can be a better force and department. And I think one of the things is meeting the people one-on-one. And that's what I do from the janitor on up to the top departments. I mean, my first week there, I met the janitor, Alex, custodian, and nice guy. And we got a picture together. And I go, this is where it starts. Grassroots with talking with every employee in every interaction. I met a judge today. I meet somebody new every single day, Chuck. And I think that's my kind of wheelhouse. I like to go up to people and just say, who are you and where do you work? And I'm such and such. And they go, oh, I've heard about you, but I never met you. And I think if we do more of that as a board, I think the morale will be like, I know who these people are that are our commissioners, because I hear that a lot. So I'm trying to change that.
Met Alex myself. Covering
okay.
Elections.
Several
times. Great guy.
No
doubt about it. Ron, tell me about your assessment of the county's morale right now.
I think it's a time of great expectations because you have a completely new board. I think the department heads and the managers are looking for a fresh start. And I think that's what they're going to get with this board, is a fresh start. We're wiping out all the past and we're starting over new. I think that's a great thing for the county. I think with the change in the federal administration, I think optimism through the whole county is up. I really do. And I think that will lend itself to raising morale and a better feeling within county government. So I would say it's a great expectations of having a new board to work with.
Now, let me go back and just as classify myself as kind of a county observer from a distance. Yeah, we watch a lot of meetings via the internet. And it really began to come to light that there was at least some unhappiness throughout the ranks, I want to say about last spring. And I think that went back to dealing with the budget when some cuts were being made to different departments. What is the status of the budget right now, knowing, of course, that the county has to have a balanced budget by law? Is that correct, Andres?
Yes, by the charter. Yeah. It's required to be balanced, absolutely. And this is always going to be a contentious thing, is the budget. The challenge that we have right now, and I think everybody knows it, the spigot from federal funding, from money, from grants, is closing, if it's not closed already. So we're not an expanding economy. Things are dwindling down, and it's unfortunate. I wish I could hire more people and give raises, but if the money's not there, that's just not going to happen. So, you know, making cuts is very, very, very difficult, and it's been happening for a long time, and it is really coming to a head right now, this year, this budget season. And the fellow commissioners have been involved in our first budget workshop, and so they've got their eyes opened as to what needs to be done, and it's going to be very, very, very difficult to do what has to be done. And nobody wants to be in this position. And I would say this is the most difficult part of our responsibilities, is that budget component to it. It's not fun.
All right. Andres, in your assessment right now, the status of the budget, is it shrinking this year? Is it going to be shrunk by what kind of percentage? And I know you don't have hard numbers right now, generally speaking.
I can't give you any numbers because I don't know. So first of all, keep in mind, this is the first budget that I've gone through. So with my previous filling out Commissioner DeYoung's term,
it was already
involved.
Set when you
yes,
came in.
Yes, that was already done. So in effect, we have three rookies here that are looking at it from the very, very first, for the very first time. I do know that money like the SRS money is going away. We have lots of infrastructure that needs to have repairs and upgrades. I mean, we've got like radio equipment that the sheriff uses that is antique stuff, and this is probably something that you would know about. But we have lots of things coming up that need to be done. Some have to be done, and other things are in the budget that we just don't have the money. And that's the hard part, is to decide who gets what and to what level they get funded. It's all about priorities.
Okay.
That's a hard one.
No doubt. And I'm sure that will be ongoing right now. A brief look at the agenda coming up for tomorrow morning for the Board of County Commissioners meeting. Is there a lot of talk about things happening with the Sheriff's Department, including those radios that he alluded to right now? We're going to continue right after this word. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Tuesday Talk Show in Progress. County Commissioners are in studio, the brand new board here, and we're talking about, well, we've been talking about budget. We've just finished talking with Andrus, the chairman, about the budget. He's the veteran, put that in quotes here. Let's move on down there. All right, Chris, you've got to look at the budget right now, where it's going, and were you shocked, or were you ready for this?
I was ready for it. I've been attending meetings well over a year to try to get a pulse on what was going on and what's going to be handed down to us. So as a candidate, definitely, I know some of the other commissioners as well have been involved in some of those meetings. I just know that money keeps shrinking, and we're not growing in that department, but when things were good, we had more employees. Now that we have a smaller budget, I'm an employer. I know Commissioner Black is, and I know Commissioner Smith that ran a company as well. So we know when profit and loss, how that works. When you have more money, you spend more, and you have more employees. When things get tight, you have to lose employees, and you have to tighten up the belt. And I just want everybody to know that with that, every business owner in America knows that cycle. If they're in business, if we weren't in business and we didn't have a broad background of that, we'd be like, it's hard to let employees go. Let's just put it that way. And I don't want to see that happen. I know that that's my biggest concern when it comes to when we're trying to give raises and everything. I don't know if you know this, but us three declined a COLA, cost of living allowance.
For the ASME.
Yeah.
For the ASME union.
No, just for us.
Just for us.
Board.
Oh, for
yeah.
You.
Yeah. So
wait, also you turned down the ASME union, did you not?
Well, that is in negotiation.
That's still in negotiation.
That's still in negotiation. Yeah. Yeah. And we probably shouldn't comment on that right now.
Yeah,
in any detail.
But it was just a fact that they came to you with a proposal that you turned down and sent back to negotiation.
Well, I know that we had a board meeting on that, so that was public record. But back on cutting things, it always scary going into a position. I didn't feel right that we get a raise coming into this job a couple weeks in. So we did, trying to set the standard of leadership. So leadership starts at the top. I know everybody else got a raise that are non-union, and we can go in the weeds. I'm not going to go into that. But I know that we're going in some tough times, Chuck, and we just want to set the example that, hey, we declined our cost of living allowance because we know hard times are ahead.
All right. Ron, tell me about your view of the budget right now, because you've been watching for a long time.
To me, it's no-brainer. If you've been out there as a consumer buying food, gasoline, heating your home, just about doing anything that requires your money, you know things are tight. It's no different for government. Our problem is that 80% of our budget is grant-driven. We no longer have the flush money we had when we had the ONC monies, and timber receipts for roads and schools off the national forest is dwindling. It's a shame that we've allowed or have been forced into a position where 80% of the county's budget is dependent on grant money, and most of that money is just passed through. It's already earmarked for some other program. So there's very little we as a commissioner have discretion to move around. So just the people need to understand, and I know they do because they bought groceries. they bought gasoline. They know things are tough now. Hopefully, with a new administration in place, maybe some things can loosen up on our natural resource area, and I'll be working on that because I think that's ultimately very important. But people just got to understand, it's tight for them at home. It's tight for us here in the county government, too.
All right. You mentioned expanding natural resources. Do you have any goals there, or can you point to a specific area?
Well, I think there's going to be some progress made as far as timber resources go off the National Forest and the ONC lands. I've been in contact with Commissioner Freeman out of Douglas County, who's the president of the ONC counties. I think there's going to be some real progress made in those areas. And so actually it's unfortunate that we as a county pulled out of the ONC counties. I'm going to try to get us back into that, because I feel like there's going to be some, with the budget we have right now, a great thing for the sheriff's department would be some ONC monies, because we could give that directly to him. So I'm hopeful. I'm looking forward to getting more involved with the other counties on the amendment of the Northwest Forest Plan, and also what progress we can make for ONC timber receipts, because that's really what funded the county for almost 90 years.
All right, that Northwest Forest Plan is up for amendment right now. What do we hope for that, and what do we expect realistically?
I hope they hold off.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want them to go through with their amendments right now. That's part of the reason I'm going through. I think they're going to be premature in those amendments, because they have not had the time for the current Trump administration to get in place and put all those directors, top-level administrators, in office. So the directives coming down from the federal government have not even hit the Northwest yet. I really would like them to have to hold off long enough so that we could get this current administration, new Secretary of Interior, new Secretary of Agriculture, so things can move towards a positive light for our rural counties.
What are the chances of that happening, and do we have any influence to make that happen?
Yes, because we have the Trump administration. Now, if we were talking about the last administration, I'd say no. But from what I've heard from coming out of this Trump administration, there's some very positive things to be excited about what can happen with timber in general and possibly with mining. But, you know, I like to say Josephine County is the poorest little rich county in the western United States, because we're rich. We're not poor because of our lack of resources. We're poor because of government mandates.
All right. Have we reached out to our congressional delegation, or do we have influences there?
Yes, I've talked to Cliff Bentz's representative the other day, and he assures me there's some positive things happening. So I'm in touch with him. I don't have much hope of talking to our two state senators, because they're just not into natural resources.
Yeah. Well, it depends on which side you're in, I suppose, with those two senators. And I didn't mean to just ignore Chris and Andres on that question. You can weigh in right now for just a few minutes before I break for the news.
Well, I just like to say that I'm not very well-versed in this topic, but I really appreciate Commissioner Smith being a part of our team. It's something that he's known and worked with and is very passionate about, and I look forward to his leadership in that responsibility that the commissioners have. And I'm optimistic, and I very much encourage him to keep continuing on the route that he's going.
All right, Chris.
Yeah, I concur. This is where we all have a little bit of expertise in a field, and we don't want to step on another commissioner when he knows what he's doing in that department. He loves his stuff. And I do believe that we are a timber community. We used to be. My dad worked in the mills. I mean, we've seen what happened with logging over the years. And that's a resource. That's a renewable resource. And Commissioner Smith is reaching out to the people that are the players on that to try to get us those ONC funds, is what made our county kind of in a better light with the money that we did have. And then government got a little bit bigger because of that too. Now that we lost a lot of those receipts, that it makes us kind of go back to the drawing board, going, where do we cut? And that's the sad part. But if Commissioner Smith and all of us work together, we might get some light on that being a forest county again.
All right. Do you endorse his proposal to rejoin the ONC lands, the ONC counties? And you've got 30 seconds.
I think that's a great direction to go.
I have no objection to that. And I just would like to make one comment if you have a couple of seconds.
Sure.
Somebody once said, stumps on the hill, cash in the till.
Stumps on the hill, cash in the till. Right. I love it.
Well, okay. Trump administration is touting drill, baby, drill. So we should have our own little idiom or rhyme to go with
it. I like that. Yeah. All right.
All right. We've got the county commissioner. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. We'll have more right after the top of the hour news. This is KAJO Grants Pass.
Martin Mikut conducts the...
Welcome back. Tuesday Talk Show in Progress, ladies and gentlemen. The number to call is 541-472-1270. And if you have a question or a comment for a guest, we'll put you on the air live. When you hear the sound of the radio coming back through the phone, that means you're next at queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live. Had a couple of calls come through, and I'm not sure they're still holding on right now. Just let me double check. Good morning, you're on the air? No. And good morning, you're on the air. All right. For some reason, we lost them or they didn't come back. Once again, that number, 541-472-1270. All right, we're talking with a brand new Board of County Commissioners. Our first time having this board in front of us here on this Tuesday morning. Gentlemen, we talked about budget a little bit more, and I think the budget has really had an effect on some of the things that the public is dealing with right now. And the one that's getting the most headlines right now is the library. What is the status here with the library? Let's start with you.
With the library, where we stand right now is before I was appointed for my second term, let's call it that, the previous board, which included my colleagues right here and the previous Commissioner West, said that they wanted to call the library and find out about the lease. They have a special lease that was agreed to many years ago. And what we're trying to do right now is call representatives from the library to our office and start a discussion about the lease. The lease is very interesting in how it's written and also that its provisions are made for in the charter and how the county needs to interact with the library. And is contentious because the library has a pretty sweet deal, and the deal is it impacts all the other departments in the county, whether you're in the library district or not. So I think there's a level of unfairness there, and this is something we need to look at, just like with any lease. I haven't personally looked at the lease verbatim to see what it says, but as responsible landlords, we need to look at it. Terms out, I believe, at the end of this year, and I don't think it's unreasonable for us, the parties, to come to the table and let's start talking about it. Let's see what we've got. We may continue on with what similar to what we have right now, or it may be revised or changed in some way, shape, or form that's more mutual to both of the parties involved.
All right. Let me ask the question. So the lease has not been – there's not been a date given to terminate the lease for the library.
Well, I think there was a little bit of misunderstanding. I believe it was on January the 6th there was a discussion about terminating it, but the last I heard was that the process wasn't followed appropriately is how I understand it, and I may be wrong because again this was before I got there.
Okay, are you getting advice from legal counsel now as to the status of their lease?
Right now, the last I heard was our legal counsel has reached out to the library people, and we're trying to coordinate with a date and time certain for a meeting so that we can start discussions.
All right, Chris, your stance on this situation, your perspective now.
Yeah, I think things got blown out of proportion on the first day that we came in, and it was just trying to, the last board was just trying to talk about the lease. It is coming up at the end of the year. As you know, commercial leases, they take some discussion to work out. So like Commissioner Black said, I don't think it's unreasonable that the discussions come up on that. There has not been no letter to terminate, to vacate the building or anything like that. And I think that this is going to be a productive conversation. I really hope that we can get to the table to talk, because this is just a landlord-tenant agreement. That's all it is. We don't govern the library or anything like that. They're their own entity, and they do have a unique circumstance. They are blessed with a taxing district, which the voters did vote in, and they get money from that, and then also they get money as a nonprofit status. So they have kind of two income revenues and then subscriptions and stuff. I'm really proud of the fundraising that they have done. They have really built up quite a fund for the library, and they plan on building a brand new library in 2027, from what I understand, breaking ground. But like I said, we just want to talk, and that's all this conversation is. And I think it's going to be a good one.
All right, Ron, your perspective.
It's simply a landlord-tenant lease negotiations. It's nothing more than that. There's no axe to grind here. It's just like we talked about with the budget. Times are a little tight for the county. So we're looking at every way we can tighten our belt as a county, because I know our citizens will have to do the same thing. So it's just simply a landlord-tenant discussion about a lease. No big deal.
Oh, okay.
Happens all the time.
Okay. All right. Have we heard back from the library? Andres, you said legal counsel is talking with them. Do we know if they've responded?
I believe they've responded, but I don't know if a time and date certain has been set for the first meeting.
All right. Now, is the reason behind this going back, is it a budgetary consideration? Is that a place to save money or to not spend extra money on repairs, as we've heard in the news?
Yeah, it's based on the fact that the library does not pay into the building fund, yet it receives services from the building fund. All other buildings and all other departments in the county that pay into the building fund are unfairly yoked or burdened by having to pay in, but yet one of the members of that group does not pay in and yet receives services for maintenance of that building, specifically the library building we're talking about right now. So, yeah, it has to do with the fact that all citizens essentially have a stake in paying into the maintenance fund, yet some parties are receiving that benefit without having to pay into it. And that's a fairness thing, I think, more than anything else.
All right, but at the same – all right, let me just throw some things out here. If the building has been leased to a private agency, i.e. the Grants Pass Community Libraries, does that take them out of that situation legally, or is that part of the contention right now?
I'm not sure I understand exactly what you're asking.
If I'm a private citizen and I come in and I lease that building and I've got all of the lease here written out in the terms, is that in the terms of the lease, or have I leased that building just for me and now you're coming back with other situations?
I'm not sure we should be discussing too much of this on the air. Because it's going to be a negotiation.
It's up for negotiating. But I think what's happened in the past is the way things were reported were a bit confusing, and it wasn't quite understood exactly what was going on there. I don't believe there
probably
was any
– probably on both sides.
Yeah. And I don't think there was any deceit involved or anything like that. I think, you know, budgets get complicated. Where money goes gets complicated. Who pays for what pays for how pays for – it's pretty complicated. And I don't think there was anything nefarious in any way. I just think that this is how it's been going, and nobody's looked into it until recently. And it's just something that I believe just needs to be addressed.
All right, so we'll wait for the legal outcome here between County Legal Counsel and representatives of the library. Once again, if you want to weigh in on that, it's 541-472-1270, and we'll put you on the air live. What else are you dealing with right now as county commissioners? What are you hearing from the public? Are we talking about that wildland fire interface, and is there anything the commission can do to alleviate some of the stress being put on landowners and outside the city limits?
So Commissioner Smith spoke to that earlier, and I'll let him address it because he's working diligently on that.
I'm getting a tremendous amount of calls from people, emails. As you know, and maybe you don't know, but I was held a lot of public meetings on this very issue before I was a county commissioner, because I see it as very, very, very hard. Josephine County is going to be hit the hardest, especially North Valley and the Illinois Valley and the Applegate Valley. Those areas are going to be really, really hit hard. The landowners are going to be placed with a burden, a financial burden, on a legislation that really has nothing in it that's going to stop wildfires. All the burden is placed on the landowner, none on the federal land managers, where most of our fires start. So I want to pitch again that if we're having a town hall meeting on the wildfire hazard map, January 30th, 7 to 9 p.m. at the Josephine County Fairgrounds Evergreen Pavilion. And we're going to bring out a bunch of information for people, hopefully to motivate a bunch of people to basically answer back, or we could say push back, against what I consider horrible legislation. And it's going to be the hottest issue coming up. We have a window for their appeal process of March 10th. So people are feeling the burden of that. That people are scared. It's a tough process to try to go through an appeal. The whole thing hinges on a map. The whole legislation hinges on a map. And we believe the map is flawed, as it has been in the past. It was drawn back. They redid it, but it really didn't change a whole lot about the map. But we're gonna push back on this. We have some plans to give the people some actions to take, and give them some information so they're not so fearful about this process. But what it's going to take is not a commissioner. It's going to take the county. It's going to take those people in North Valley, Illinois Valley, Applegate Valley, Douglas County, Jackson County, to stand up and say, we don't want this. We're not going to comply. We want you to go back to the drawing board and do something that's really meaningful to stop wildfires. There's a tremendous amount of money that's going to come out of this, but it's not going to the property owners. The property owners are going to face fines and fees. And the thing about these fines and fees, they treat them just like a property tax. So if you don't pay the fines and fees, they can foreclose on your property over this. There's a lot to this, Chuck, and that's why we're having a meeting. I could talk for hours about this subject. But right now, we want to get people to that town hall so we can get them the information, get them motivated to take the positive action to tell the state no.
All right. So if you put together an organization or the organization forms itself via your words pull it together, how strong does that situation have to be, and how much influence will it really have in Salem?
I learned a lesson about politicians a long time ago, Chuck. They know one thing and one thing only, numbers.
Money.
Numbers. Numbers. It's either dollars and cents or numbers of people. So we don't have the dollars and cents, but we have the people, and that's the whole key, is get the people motivated. If you get 10, 20,000 people in Josephine County, another 10,000 and 15,000, they can't ignore those numbers. So I'm telling all the people that are out there listening, come to that meeting, get your information, get motivated, take action. Let's start a roundup, groundswell to push back against the horrible legislation.
If I'm a homeowner out there right now, what should I be doing right now?
Come to the meeting. Make sure you have enough information.
All right, where do I get that information, and what information am I looking for?
This is old. If you're a landowner and you're mapped on a high hazard zone, you already got a letter from ODF, a registered, they call it a registered letter. So I know a lot of people got those letters, but everybody's in those high hazard zones, have those letters. Okay. We want to help them interpret that and give them information so they can take the right positive steps to get some traction with the state legislature.
All right. Is there an underlying goal by the legislature that created this situation?
Well, I don't want to become another L.A., okay, and unfortunately, they had all of these plans in California. Okay, the emphasis for this legislation came from, and I don't want to take all the time here because I could. It all started with a wildfire starting from power lines. Out of that, a little committee was formed. They came up with a 110-page report, and through the legislative process, they took that 110-page report, gutted it, and stuffed it. And now we have Senate Bill 762.
Where'd the map come from? Who designed that map?
OSU.
Yeah. Oregon State University.
That's right.
Have they ever been in the field?
No. Nobody ever came to my property. Nobody came to anybody's property. This is all done. I like to say there are a bunch of college students that never left college. They're still there. But they got a job in college, and the cushy one at that. So the map is the key to this thing. We believe the map is flawed. I like to see the map go away. I like to see the legislation go away. If you're going to hand out hundreds of millions of dollars, hand it out to the property owners. Take the burden off them. Give them the money.
All right. If I'm a landowner right now and I've just heard all of this, what's my next step? Okay, come to the meeting. Do I reach out to the commission personally? Do I reach out to my state legislators? Do I reach out to my federal legislatures? Who do I talk to?
It's a state issue. I would like to see them ring Jeff Goldman's hook off phone right off the wall, because he's the architect of this. And they can call Pat.
You don't happen to have his phone number, do you?
No, but they can find it. They can find it on it's on the web.
What's his name again?
Jeff Goldman, our state senator.
Okay, gotcha.
From Ashland, and Pam Marsh from Ashland, state representative. These are the two architects behind this legislation. They're the ones that have pushed it all the way through.
Really?
Yes, all the way through. And you know the unfortunate part about this? 3 years of working, the first Zoom meeting, Jeff Golden said, well, we never thought about people's homeowners insurance going up. But people are losing their insurance rate are going up, their power bill's going up, and all of that's because of Senate Bill 762.
All right. Well, we'll talk about that a little more. Right now, we need to take a little break, a deep breath, and pay some bills. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everyone. Glad to have you with us this morning. Once again, number to call, 541-472-1270. If you have a question for the county commissioners here. Gentlemen, we're into our last, actually about our last 8 minutes here of the program. And we've got, I want to say a lot. I want to say the word rookie, and that's not exactly a fair situation, but first-timers might be more accurate in terms of sitting in their particular seats right now. And I'm going to go to Andrus right now. Andrus, what do people need to, one, take away from today's program, and two, what do they need to take to the county commissioners? What do you need to hear from the public?
Okay, so first the takeaway would be the three biggest challenges we have as commissioners ahead of us, and that's the most important is by far the budget. Mm-hmm. That's a big deal. Number two is dealing with Senate Bill 762. That's a big deal. Although it's not as big as the budget, it is a big deal and affects everybody statewide, not just the countywide, mm-hmm. but statewide. And then the third biggest thing, I think, is the new fire district that's coming. In May, we'll have elections for the those positions for the fire district, and that affects everyone, too. The takeaway is, again, like I've said in the past, and I always say that, is we have a weekly business session. That's tomorrow. We have take comments from the public. We encourage people to come out and talk to us. We want to be positive and polite, obviously, in our meetings. But if we as commissioners don't know what's on your mind, we can't help you. But I'd also like to encourage people to not just come and complain and beat their shoe on the lectern, but to come with constructive criticism. Help us solve the issues that we're faced with today.
Beating the shoe on a lectern. Boy, that took me back decades to a fellow by the name of Khrushchev.
That's the man.
That's the man. All right. I didn't think he was that old. Chris, once again, new to the Board of County Commissioners, but certainly a commission watcher for a long time. What are people telling you now as a new commissioner, and what are your priorities?
New commissioner, people want to get to know who we are. So I'm doing that. My schedule's been full, meeting with people on a daily basis. Out in the community, that's another thing. I'm not behind the desk all the time. I'm a person that's in the field. I want to see our operations. I want to see what's going on in our community. And that's where we all have expertise and our backgrounds to do, and we can help each other as a board. And that's one of my goals is, connections with our other mayors, our city of Grants Pass mayor, or Cave Junction mayor, support them and go to their functions and try to see what things are going on with their cities that affect our county. Also, our state representative, working with them, and our state senator. And we have a good connections, which I mean is networking is important. And I think that's one thing that I definitely want to build up is unity in the community. It's one of my campaign slogans. And I'm already doing that. And PR, which means public relations. I want people to know who their commissioners are, what we are doing, and we listen. People call up all the time to meet with us. And one of the big events, I didn't want this to go unnoticed. We just did a press release. We're doing a lot of press releases, so you can go to our website for that. And one thing is inform the public of good things that are going on as well. And we're going to celebrate 169 years of the county with a courthouse ribbon cutting by the Josephine County Grants Pass Chamber of Commerce this Friday, rain or shine. It's going to be on the courthouse steps at 6 p.m. We're going to have the historical society there, talk about the history of our county. The courthouse is 109 years old, and we're going to do a little special surprise at the end. It's going to be cool, and it's only going to be about a half an hour ceremony, rain or shine. It's supposed to rain, so dress appropriately, but right on the courthouse steps. It's going to shine some light on our community.
All right, shine some light, but take your umbrella.
Correct.
There you go. All right. You mentioned you'll be out and about talking to people. What are the people telling you? What are you hearing from them?
They support that we are doing the best that we're handed with. And that's the thing that I'm getting. We're new. They elected us in, and we are getting we're running strong right now. We're running fast. Like I tell everybody, I feel like I've been there 6 months already. It's because we are rooted in the community. We are elected officials that have roots in our county, and we know the county. county, and we're trying to fix things, but things can't get fixed overnight. But I can tell you this, Chuck, with the board that we have right now, we are running to try to do the best things.
All right, Ron, what are people telling you right now?
Well, of course, the big issue for me and the phone calls and the emails I would get is about the wildfire hazard map. But I'd like to quote Plato. He is known to say, "The price good men pay for indifference to public affairs is to be ruled by evil men." This is where we're at today. So I'm encouraging all the listeners out there. You remember, we're a board of commissioners that are elected. We're here to serve you. You need to give us your feedback, because I ran as a people's commissioner, and that's still my heart and soul, to represent the people of Josephine County. That's why I have elected officials at the top, not appointed officials. So give us some feedback. Come talk to us.
All right. I'm assuming you're not an evil man.
So that's a good assumption, because that's the truth.
anything else in particular that the people have been telling you?
I think they want more responsive government. I think they want to be heard, and you can't put this on the board. This lays squarely at the feet of the population, because if they want things done in the county, the best way to get us done is come and talk to us. Come to this public, our weekly business sessions. Come into our office and talk to us. Things will not change unless the population decides to change them. Homelessness is not going away unless the public wants it to go away. The drug epidemic is not going away unless people want to get it. It's all about how the people rise up and want to be governed. It's up to them.
All right. I want to thank you all very much. First of all, before we get away tonight, I want to deal a little bit with the agenda. You have a weekly business session beginning tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. at the Angie Bhaskar Auditorium, and I'll go back to Board Chair Mr. Bleck right now and run down some of the situation. Well, certainly on the agenda right now, you're going to recognize Josephine County Sheriff Dave Daniel, a respectable man, certainly. But also there's a couple of opportunities in that agenda for the sheriff's office. Is that correct?
When you see opportunities, he has items on the agenda. I believe one of them that comes to mind is his request for the radios. Is that what you're referring to?
Yes, it is.
So that is one. I don't know. Let me see if I can.
Personal services between an agency for the jail.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. That has to do with a service that an outside vendor provides. It's a psychiatric contract with the inmates, and it's something that the sheriff farms out, and it's most efficient to do that.
Do we have any idea of the cost there of those radios and that agreement?
Yeah, I can tell you, they're more expensive than you think. They're quite precision instruments, and off the top of my head, I don't remember how many, but I can't say for certain the dollar amount. I thought it was $14,000 for...
That's just a replacement for what?
These are for worn-out ones. Worn-out radios that the sheriffs and sheriff's deputies have on them. Personally, I think they're the handy talkies that we're
Motorola
talking about.
Type.
Yeah.
All right. So, well, certainly in terms of public safety, that's almost a requirement there.
That's a function of government is public safety. That's what we're called to make sure happens.
Right. Gentlemen, it's been an interesting first time for the Josephine County Commissioners here on the Tuesday Talk Show. Once again, we expect them here on the fourth Tuesday of every month, and we have that commitment so far. You're listening to KAJO Grants Pass, Oregon.
Hey, y'all.